Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. North of the northernmost tip of Lake Winnipeg, Norway House is a Cree First Nation community that works. It has a wonderful school system, fiddle groups, canoe trips, there's a local radio station, police station, cultural groups, and language renewal program. Traditional ceremonies are preserved and young people are mentored by elders about their relationship to the land and their history. But after 150 years under the Indian Act, with broken treaties, disease, death and poverty, forced assimilation, mass incarceration, cultural genocide, residential schools, widespread discrimination, racism, rape and murder, this is a people that needs to be healed. Our People Will Be Healed is the name of a new documentary that premiered at TIFF and is now showing at Imaginative, Toronto's Indigenous Film Festival. It is the work of Master Director Alanis Obomsawin, Canada's doyen of documentary filmmaking, who has recorded the lives and issues of First Nations in 50 films over 50 years. And I'm very pleased and honored to be here in person at the National Film Board in Toronto with Alanis Obomsawin to hear more about Our People Will Be Healed. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for letting me come by here. So, in the film, you show a First Nation community that is healing. Why does Norway House work?
I think mainly because of the visionary aspect of the people who are in charge. And this school, I think, is 10 years old, and I have never witnessed such a wonderful place for learning as this one. Not only in terms of the devotion of the teachers and the leadership, also the building is extraordinary. You can tell that whoever decided on the architecture of this building was very concerned about the tradition and the language and the way people, the Cree people, have a legacy of surviving with the earth and the water and the majestic feeling of traditions and language is very much at the front.
And the people who work there are from the community itself, many of them?
Many of them are teachers from Norway House. There are other Indigenous teachers that have come from different communities, also non-Indigenous people that are there. And I must say, I've interviewed quite a few of them, and I was extremely impressed by the love and the devotion of this particular place. And the children are king there.
The name of the place is the Helen Betty Osborne Innu Education Resource Center.
Yes.
Can you talk about the name of the place, whom it was named after?
Yes, this young woman was at a residential school in, I think, Portage-la-Prairie, I'm not sure if that's the one, but I think so. And she was abducted at night by a group of young men who forced her in a car and raped her and beat her up. They killed her. And it took 16 years before some kind of justice was done, not all the way. And this young girl was a very special person who was very concerned about education. And she wanted to become a teacher. And she used to read a lot and prepare herself for the future. And this was done. And this is the reason why they named the school after her.
And it also, in a way, ties in with the missing and murdered women.
Yes.
She's another terrible example.
Yes. Yes. Not
at this place, but at many places, many reserves across Canada, there's an epidemic of young people committing suicide. How does this system help address that?
I think it does address that by making sure that the children, the young people feel included, feel that they belong to a community, feel that they have traditions and their language, and it's a healing way of existing, what they have created. And you can see the difference.
And it's also a inclusive system where they have people with learning disabilities or mental health issues.
All together.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful. And each person that's in need has one person at the school level with each one of them. They have special aid from a person who's qualified to really help. And there's no difference with the other regular children and the ones that are in need. And it's the contrary. Young people are taught to include and to be caring about those who do need help.
Do you think it could be a model for other systems?
I do think so.
Across the country?
It's the first time in my life that I witness such a system that is so incredible.
How do they pay for it? How is it that they can have that and other communities can't?
Yes, the school is under provincial system. And the principal explains that the population of children is very high in Norway House. And they're, each child gets to qualify for a certain amount of money for education. And therefore, the infrastructure is wonderful. And also the mind and the spirit of the people is so present all the time that it makes for a very healthy place.
Now, one program they had that visually is beautiful in your film, but it's also very fascinating. They take groups of kids out by canoe and portage, I think, through the area. Can you talk about that?
Yes. We followed a group of young people paddling all the way to, took 4 hours to get there on the water.
And you were also paddling?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we filmed them and we stayed at the camp with them for, I forget, a few nights. Mm-hmm. And of course I interviewed the young people who were part of this. And again, you know, the basic root of all these things is love. Their feel. So much love there by the adults and by everyone who's concerned about the survival of these young people and to get rid of the problems of drugs and liquor and feeling like leaving and committing suicide. And I'm just so impressed. I don't even know how to express what I feel. It's much higher than hope. Everybody said, oh, it's such a hopeful film, but I feel that it doesn't qualify the feeling that you get.
It's more like a joyful film.
Yes. And it's the music part of it is so extraordinary. And you see, you know, we filmed 500 children starting at 8 years old playing the violin up to adulthood. So it's so special. And you see these young children really concentrate to play well and togetherness. And
there was a fiddle jamboree.
Yes,
or I never even personally, I never associated fiddle playing with indigenous people, but it seems to have a long tradition in Manitoba.
Yes, it does, and with the Métis people also. It's
that's
a very
right.
strong tradition. So it's wonderful to see them so concentrated and wanting to do well and to play together. That joyful feeling is just out there.
So one thing I didn't know that much about, but you film a traditional ceremony of the Cree, Lakota, and other First Nations called the Sundance. And the Canadian and U.S. governments banned ceremonies like potlatch and
it was against the law.
Sundance. It was against the law, but it was continued on in secret. Can you talk about what the Sundance is and why it's significant?
Well, the Sundance is a ceremony that usually it's on. It can be on for maybe 2 days, 4 days, 7 days. Sometimes it's even longer, and it's a very healthy tradition that I was unfortunate, but the government really banned it for not just that, but they banned all ceremony and all gathering of people, more than three people.
You could be what?
Yes.
You gatherings of more than three people.
Yeah, you could be arrested and go to jail. Because the government was worried, no wonder, because of what they were doing, that if the people get together, they will try to organize revenge against the government. And these were the reason. It was part of the Indian Act. And it's only in 1951, for the first time, when there was an amendment in the Act. And these rules were taken off, like change. But what I, after doing quite a bit of research, what I was really shocked as, like we would hear that you were to do this was against the law, and then they repealed it, and then if you, after a number of years, it was coming back as part of the Indian Act. This is what I didn't know, which I learned in this new research that I did.
Okay.
That once they, it was no longer a law to ban people gathering or ceremonies. It was curiously, I was very surprised to see that after a number of years, it was coming back, it was banned again. There's several things like that in the Indian Act that that's why I was so confused, because you looked at a certain time, a certain year, and this law is no longer part of it, and so everybody's happy, and you know, and then a few years down the line, it comes back. This is what I didn't know. I found that out this time.
Was this because
whoever was in charge, you know?
Oh, like, okay. Duncan, so just a political thing.
Duncan Campbell Scott was really vicious in that way. And so the Sundance was kept underground by people who made sure that they would not die. And of course, a lot of people went to jail, even old people
for participating in forced
labor and jail time. And so now it's come back to Norway House. And I was very touched by the fact that they told me I could film it. But I did it very secret, sacred way. I did not film any ceremonies, but I filmed the gathering and from far that, you know, excuse me, that it's happening, so that the young people could see that this is theirs and that they could be part of it, and that it's really a healing ceremony that really helps you for your survival and your tradition and your excuse me, your rules by how you're going to live, you know.
Could you describe the ceremony?
Well, there are many ceremonies. Mm. And there's new name giving, there's
skin piercing, or?
Yes, and there's
Involving a tree, or?
Well, there's the tree life, which tree is chosen, and it stands in the middle. And there are several ceremonies that they can have. It's not always the same. Walking out ceremony for babies. In some nation, it's when you get to be 2 years old that there's a special ceremony for the child who's dressed very traditionally, and they walk with the child. That's called a walking out ceremony. And there can be marriage ceremony, death, the remembrance of those who have left, and it's very precious, and to be part of it, and to be knowing that you're included, in it really makes one feel that you belong to this earth, to this particular community, that you belong as a group, as a family, as friends. It's very special.
It was a very special film as well, yeah. Beautiful, about a, I don't know, a place I like to look at and hear about.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Documentary filmmaker Alanis Obomsawin's newest film, Our People Will Be Healed, is showing at Imaginative. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.